worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for your glory, Jesus. Everything that you provided, the virtue that came out of you at the cross, everything that was laid on you, all those makadaso. I carried that place, saith the Spirit of grace. I carried it for you. Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. We'll come unto that rest. You bore in your body all these things, Jesus. You've got something working in you that you need prayer for tonight. Why don't you come on down if you need prayer for you? And Rosie, do you think we could get one of these over to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rosie's got a brother-in-law. And his name's Roy. He had a heart attack and then had a hemorrhaging on the brain. Only God can bring him out of this. He's been in a coma for the last few days, and it's going to be taking a miracle. Do you think they'll take this to him? Somebody will. We're going to pray over this. We've seen these happen so many times before. His name's Roy. Barbara, if you'll put your hand there, Candy. Jesus, we just look. This happened in the book of Acts. It can happen again today. Lord, I release the power of God. I command you, Roy. Now, we're not negotiating with you. We're just speaking the very life of God. Lord, if you raised the boy at the gate name, if you brought forth life to the little girl, Lord, if you brought forth life everywhere you went, we speak again today the life of Jesus Christ. Now, Roy, live and not die. Come back to yourself. May nothing of your brain be destroyed. May all of the vital parts of your body be restored once again, perfectly and in order. And when you come out of this, that you'll serve the Lord all the days of your life. You will live and not die and serve the Lord. We call him born again. We call him on this side that his life will not be destroyed, that he will not go into judgment, but the Lord will be saved to life. And Lord, we commit him unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you. Glorify you. There is a cause. There is a cause, people. David went about from one to the other saying, is there not a cause? There's a cause. We're called in this hour to go forward, to sell out like never before. So, Father, we worship you. We call on you for this. Change us now. From glory to glory. Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. I love to worship you. I love to worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Praise be to God. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you. Magnify you and exalt you. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. Paul talked about that there was a Philippians chapter 3, he said, I press towards the mark for the prize. Paul the persecutor was persecuting people. He turned into the greatest men of God that God ever had. When he used the word press and penned it, he put the word persecute. He says, I persecute towards the mark for the prize, the high calling. But what he was talking about is, I'm not persecuting people anymore. I'm persecuting my flesh or anything that gets in the way of me having a walk with God. Because he said, what I desire more than anything is to be attained into the resurrection. But he wasn't talking to the resurrection of the dead. He wasn't talking about a role is called up yonder, I'll be there. He was talking about, went on to explain, not that I've already attained. In other words, it was something that he was presently looking for. The resurrection of the dead was what he was talking about, was that he wanted to walk in such a place of death to his flesh that he was a walking, it was as if he was a come out of a place. He was a walking dead man that he had resurrected from a place where it was only Christ that was living out of him. So therefore he could write, I press towards the mark. Everything inside of me is fighting for this place to get to know him. That's what he said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, to be conformed to his death, to know him in such a way. Hallelujah. How many of you know Immokalee is in revival? We're going to have it. We're not going to stop until they can come in here and say, we say, what do you need? Well, I need my eyesight restored. We're going to offer it right then, right now. Well, you can't get to that place until you're contending for it. At least we're contending for it. And you know what? It's not all right with me concerning my flesh that I haven't got there yet. Hallelujah. And I don't believe it is with you. There's no guilt trips around here. We just see that he's got something for us to attain. The works that I do, he said, you'll do also. And greater, because I go to the Father. Won't you just stand with me and lift those hands for a moment? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Blessed be the Lamb. Glory. They're going to come in here by the masses. It is getting closer. Hallelujah. Because we're contending for it. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. You are who you say you are, Jesus. You are. We give you praise. You're the healer, the deliverance, everything that we need to offer Immokalee in Southwest Florida, this region of the world. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bet you'd just love to squeeze somebody real tight in the Lord and say, I love you a whole lot. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Well, we've already been to church. Ralph said the love of God's in here. We've already felt that. We could read one scripture and then you'd know you had the whole service. So we'll just read what we were quoting in Philippians chapter 3. You know, the greatest thing about walking into God, walking into His love, is that you get to be the one that does it. If you chase in yourself and He's not the one having to do it, that's where the reward comes. If you choose a self-imposed chastening where you're leaning into this, you're going to go to heaven as long as you don't go back out in the bars and start living in the world and doing all the crazy stuff that destroys the new nature. But you could just sit, warm a pew, warm a seat. But you can't do that around here. Because there's too much of, I heard some of Homer's message today. I could hear this voice. Candy was editing it. I could hear this loud voice. It sounded like hellfire and brimstone. I said, what is he doing? Is he yelling? Yes, he's yelling. But I said, okay. She said, when you listen to it? I said, yeah, I'll listen to some of it. So I listened to it. It was really, really good. It's really good yelling. Hallelujah. So we're going to get you motivated where they have to yell at you or give you the scriptures. Paul said here in chapter 3, in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, the one thing that Paul, he got to a place in verse 10, he says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And that's what I was saying. Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. Well, that's none of you, because you're already made perfect. No, I'm just kidding. But Paul says, I don't count myself having been already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press, and this is the word persecute, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 11, Paul was in what we just read was really a chastening that Paul put himself through. He was pressing towards a mark, and he says, not that I've already attained, but he said, "This I press towards this place for this prize." And what is the prize? Is it your apostleship? No, I want to know Christ so much so that I'm attained into the resurrection of an out-resurrection, or I've already went through a dying place, continual. Paul said, I die daily. And he so died that he was such a dead man that he was believing that even though he had not already attained, yet he was continually walking to a place that he was walking in a place where he was living out not his life, but his life was dead, but he was living out the life of Christ. He put himself continue in a place of the chastening of the Lord. It wasn't something that the Lord came and called him and said, I've apprehended you. And so, but he yielded to that apprehension. He yielded to the Lord taking control of his life. And that's what we're doing around here to the best of our abilities by the grace of God. And there's a whole lot more that I know I can do. But I do know this, that if we lean into these places of self-chastening, if we decide, Lord, I know I'm going to heaven. I know if I do nothing else, I'm going to heaven. But there's something more. There's something far more. There's a chastening that it's a self-imposed chastening. It's a self-imposed where you're saying, Lord, I pray that the stripes, when he said, I want to be made conformable to his death, I want to know him in the way that I can. I can't die under the penalty that Christ died under. I want to know him in his sufferings. When he said, I want to know him in his sufferings, he was talking about that Christ put himself always in a place where he yielded to the will of the Father. And he said that writing in Philippians, he said that Christ became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. And what he was saying was Christ actually lived a life where he continually kept his flesh in a place of yieldedness to the Father, so that when the place of time where he got to the cross, he was ready to do. See, you can't wait for a time in your life and say, well, you know, I'll give my life. I think I'd be a martyr. If you can't choose to live for him today, if you can't choose to walk in love today, you're not going to choose to be a martyr. You'll figure out a way to say, okay, what do the Hispanics say, kings? You know, I'm just teasing. When I denied him, you can't deny him. You can't pretend like I denied him and then say, Lord, I forgive me for denying you. If they've got a gun to your head, you've got either eternity to say, yes, I know him, goodbye world. But you can't make those kind of decisions unless you're daily, and most of us will never have to make those decisions. Praise God. Praise God. I don't think it'll come in our lifetime, but it could, because America's changing real quick. It's changing real quick. But the only way that I know that I can ever get to a place of being a Stephen and know that I could be a Stephen and lay down my life is that tomorrow I lay it down in whatever capacity he's asking me to lay it down. If I can get up in the hours that he's asking me to get up, because I want to lay there and say, it's all right. And sometimes it is all right. But I heard him say this morning, and I was wanting to lay there, and it was 6, and I knew I was supposed to get up at 6 and start praying in tongues. And I heard, and I wish he hadn't have said this, but I heard this, if you'd be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. I'd like to just lay there and say, I'm willing, Lord. Why you got to throw that obedient stuff in there? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So I'm like, I don't want to do this. Your flesh never wants to pray, but your spirit will. And get in a rhythm. That self-chastening, now I have not attained, but the self-chastening, I know if I do tomorrow the little things, if it comes to the place of being a Stephen. And here in this scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12, this is where we usually have communion service. We're not going to have communion service tonight. But this is one of those continual chastening. These are self-imposed chastening. See, the church that is going to cause revival is not in the bars. They don't have any authority. The church that's in and out of bars and having illicit, you know, relationships, their authority is not praying down revival. I mean, if they repent, God will come and meet them and bring them back up to the place where they need to be. But where you get to in a place is one of the last places where you make your advancements in authority is the greatest place in 1 Corinthians 13 is in the walk of love. And the church that is calling in revival and winning on the line of revival is past the bars. You know, they're past, you know, should be past the affairs, should be past all that kind of stuff. But one of the places where it's so easy for us sometimes not to judge ourselves in is this place of where we can continually judge ourselves in is how much love we walk in. How much love we walk in. And so verse 31 says, if we judge, Paul said, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, this came right after he talked about that if we don't discern the Lord's body, many are sick and weakly, many go to sleep before their time. Many of them were going to heaven. But as a result of not judging, and if we read this whole thing, they weren't judging the walk of love that they walked in and how much they discerned what his physical body was broken, so you and I don't ever have to be broken, is what he was saying. It was separated, his body was separated, broken up, so that the spiritual body of Christ never has to be broken up. And now not all sickness comes because of, you know, sin or because Jesus definitely defined that. They said, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither. And a lot of times the enemy will come in and especially in the walk that we're on and try to accuse us, but of things that are in our bodies and those kinds of things. But here's our hope. As long as we're doing the message, that's the judgment. It may not have all gotten out of us yet. In other words, there may be a little bit left inside of how you think that you should feel towards somebody. Like when you walk past them or you hug them, that hug may not be as strong as you'd like for it to be. But as long as you keep doing the message, you'll keep being judged by God as being one that's judging himself. And I like that because it says this, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Hallelujah. For it says in verse 32, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. Chastening is good. Chastening is a good thing. We're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. See, in other words, either I'm going to walk under the chastening of the Lord, under his umbrella, or I'm going to walk outside of his umbrella, and outside of his umbrella is where the world gets chastened. In other words, the world, it's under the jurisdiction of the enemy. I'm not under the jurisdiction of the enemy. My chastening can be, Lord, you lay your stripes to my heart. Lord, I choose for you to come and convict my heart and tender my heart and say, Lord, change me in those areas of love. Convict me in those places. He says, but when we judge ourselves, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Now another scripture on chastening. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. I love to worship him. Hallelujah. It says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Everybody say it, weight. Hallelujah. Every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience. That's the force of consistency, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint where? Faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now the first place that he resisted unto blood was where? The garden. That's the place where all of everything that was coming against his mind caused him to begin to perspire blood, to where that he was resisting against sin. And he did that for me and for you, so that you and I don't have to go through those places, so that we can continue to say, Lord, whatever it is that needs to change in me, you've already gone through all this. You've already sweated great drops of blood. I can put my peace in you, knowing that change, or knowing that what you did for me, I can identify with what you did for me, and I can believe you for changing my life. Verse 5 says, and he says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily for a few days chastening us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. How many of you know that whatever the Holy Spirit chastens us for, it's so that you and I can go to another place in him? Homer received a revelation this week by talking to someone, another minister in Tulsa, and it was all about the Holy Spirit and how that he's grieved at times. Homer, can you stand and can you just share what, just that quick, because it just took a couple of sentences for you to share with me. I'm standing next to you, so I got the mic. Okay. Talk about what the grieving of the Holy Spirit was according to...
It was pretty interesting what I talked to the gentleman in Tulsa, because that's Ephesians has been going through my heart for a while, the last three chapters, and when it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption, I couldn't put my hands on it. I mean, I sort of had a general idea of what it meant, but I couldn't preach it because I wasn't sure about it. So I called another individual whose skills are just a little bit better than mine. I'm being sarcastic, way better than mine. And this man began to talk to me. I couldn't believe the wisdom that this man was spitting out. I cried. He prophesied for about 15 minutes, and his wisdom is second to none. And then when he began to elaborate and break down what grieving of the Holy Ghost meant, I was so amazed at what he said. He said, when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he said, he's not grieved, he's God. He said, but he grieves for you. And when I got a hold of that, I just wept more and more and more. So the grieving of the Holy Ghost is not God grieving himself, but he grieves for me and you because he's just wanting to take me and you. He's asking something of me and you. Maybe a handle, maybe a stronghold, maybe whatever it may be, he's asking that for me and you. And when we're not willing to give it, he grieves for me and you, because he say, my God, Marsha, look at the place where I can take you, but you, I asked this of you, but you didn't give it to me. I'm grieving for you, sister, because I got something for you. This is what I have. So that's what the grieving of the Holy Spirit meant.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Isn't that beautiful, chastening like that? When the Holy Spirit comes to chasten us, it's always for our benefit. It's always for our benefit. No chastening, it says in verse 11, we'll close with this, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Because of this, in other words, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your... In other words, he's describing someone here that's halt or lame, and this doesn't have to be the physical halt or lame, but as I've preached this before, I saw it as someone that whatever was debilitating you, whatever was keeping you back from being able to run your race without weight or without sin, rather than hiding it, rather than staying away from it, he says here, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Family Prayer Center of Immokalee is in revival. And one of the major reasons is because we're saying, Lord, bring forth your chastening. Heal inside of us what needs to be healed. Change us. Lord, if you're being grieved, we thank you that you're being grieved for us, but we want to change that. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We give ourselves to you more and more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to put an offering basket up here tonight, and as you leave, if you have something to bring, we appreciate it. How many appreciate the presence of God in here? In that first part, that wave that came through here. There was an anointing in here. When I stepped down, I could feel it so strong. And so I appreciate that. Hallelujah. We love you. I'm just getting back in the swing of things. Is there a Friday night? Yes, it'll be Friday night prayer. Okay. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I'm going to invite you to come down. If you do have something to bring, please bring it now. And we appreciate it so much. God bless you. And we'll see you on Friday night. Amen.